Psalms 113. Psalms 113, and we consider here this psalm, and I tell you what, this was a blessing to me, a jewel that I had not recalled before. I no doubt had read it, but just didn't remember it. Here's Psalm 113, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Praise Him. Praise Him. All ye people, praise Him, children of the Lord. Verse 5, the Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? Who's lacking? Who is there? Who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and the earth? He is above all, and He is there. He raised up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. Wow, that's a long way, isn't it? That He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people. I mean, man, you could take that and bust that up and preach on that for a long time. Verse 9, He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord does this, the wonder of life and the arrangement of the home and the giving of mothers. I mean, that's from God and that's His working. And so we honor our mothers today and thank the Lord for our personal mothers, grandmothers and such as that, and for other ladies in the church as such. And maybe even if a lady has been such that she did not have children of her own, but her care for the saints is akin to that. And that's a blessing from God. It's what the Lord has done by saving, and in our case, in our day, even adding to the church. And so, A mother of children. I tell you what, it's a great thing and a blessing from God. This morning, what we want to do is pursue the consideration of three mothers. Okay? The consideration of three mothers. Genesis chapter 2. The consideration of three mothers. Let's look here. In Genesis chapter 2, back at the beginning, right? There was nothing to our existence and the existence of this earth, not much beyond this other than the Lord's creation. And here in Genesis chapter 2, we see in verse 18, the scripture says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. The Lord created man, He created the beasts of the field." The account of that is given in the scriptures. And He says it's not good that man, that Adam, should be alone. "I will make an help meet for him." I'll make an help for him that'll fit, that'll be suitable, that'll be good and right, that'll be a complementary to him and he to her. "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him." There was not a help, a match for him that was suitable for him. And so that makes a great distinction there that even men of the day are messing up, aren't they? "And the Lord God," verse 21, "caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father.'" Well, there's not a father yet, is there? Is there a father that exists on the earth? Not yet. But God lays down how the principle and the law of mankind will be. "Therefore, because of this, and this, my bringing this woman to the man that I've created, creating him, creating her, therefore, going forward, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So here Adam was created. Eve was created by God, by the Lord causing a deep sleep to fall on Adam and taking this rib from him and making a help meet suitable for him. And so we see that, and the Lord lays down the principle that going forward, there will be fathers, there will be mothers, and a man is to leave them and start his own family with his wife. That's what God has said. Well, we know the account in chapter 3, how sin came into the world and Satan, who was thrown out of heaven because of his disobedience, because of his sin, his wickedness, his pride, his selfishness, rather than doing what he had been created to do, to honor and worship and praise God Almighty, seemingly, the scripture says, even from being a part of the throne of God, he cast to the earth, comes and brings sin to the earth. And we know that account. We pick it up here in verse number 14 of chapter 3. Eve was beguiled. She took of the fruit that was forbidden by the Lord for them to eat. That one tree, just one tree, Adam was to tend and to dress it. But that one tree they were not to eat. Why? Because it was poison? No. Because it was some fruit that they didn't need to partake of because there's something wrong with the fruit? No. Because God said so. That was the reason. God said so. Leave that one alone. And so we know what took place, and we'll not review that. And the blame game starts. The Lord comes and he starts to reckon with them. Adam says the woman. The woman says a serpent. Passes it, the buck on down. Each one of them responsible in their own place where the Lord had created them. And we see here in verse number 14, we'll pick it up here. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. So the blame game went down the line, and so now the Lord starts at the end going to come back up. And above every beast of the field, cursed above every beast of the field, upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. A promise given there. And even this morning, as early as this morning, we did experience this enmity. The only good snake in my book is a dead snake. Nathan said, oh, but it was a such and such snake. It does this, that, and the other. I said, it starts with S and ends with nake, and I don't like it. All right? And there is enmity there. I hate them. I don't like them. I only like snakes on boots. The bottom of the boot or on the top of the boot. Both dead. All right? But that's what the Lord said it would be. And he said this, and he gave a promise. And he listened to what he says in verse 15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Adam's out of the picture. And between thy seed and her seed. Adam's out of the picture. A promise from God. It shall bruise thy head. The woman's seed will do so. And thou shalt bruise his heel. The snake will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. It will be so. Verse number 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So the Lord establishes yet further that order in the home because of those things that have taken place. And unto Adam he said, verse 17, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, said you hearken to her rather than to me. Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return into the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And the Lord gives this unto them. And in verse number 20, we see this. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Eve is our mother. Every single one of us here this morning are related to her. She's our mother. We don't need to be down on Eve. Because had we been there in her shoes, well, that's not really right, is it? But if we'd have been there in her place, we'd have done the same thing, wouldn't we? But the thing is, the Lord's given this account that we might know the truth. And here, the Lord has given this account that we might know about the order of the family and how it is, and about how the Lord ordained about mothers. And here we see our mother. Our mother, Eve. We're all related to her. Every single one of us. And you know, and she wasn't hairy and ate bananas like a chimp and such as that. She was a woman. And our father Abraham got the song crossed up there. We're in VBS mode. Our father Adam liked her and loved her very much. God had made her for him. You know what? She sinned, she was tricked, and she succumbed to that. But you know what? She anticipated the promise of the Lord, didn't she? She heard that where the Lord said in verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." She heard that. And I believe she held to that. And she anticipated this promise of the Lord. Look here in verse number 1 of chapter 4. "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said," she said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." I believe she, that's told us there, and we're told about some of their children, and in this case Cain, and of course we know going forth Abel and Seth and such as that. But I believe that she had expectation to the promise of the Lord. Would this be the one that would bruise the head of that beguiler? She was a mother, and she, I believe, enjoyed being a mother to the extent that a woman could. She understood about why her conception was multiplied, her sorrow was more multiplied, but she was happy to be a mother and thankful to who? The great performance of her and Adam to bring about life and to have a child. No, she said, "I've got a man from the Lord." She knew who life came from, didn't she? And so our mother, Eve, it's there. And I just find that very, we're all related to her. She is all of our mother. Everyone in the world. Then there's another mother that we want to consider in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. We find here and know about the condition of the earth. In verse number 8, we pick it up. That the Lord is angry with the wickedness and the every imagination. And we see here in verse number 8 of chapter 6. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in all his generations. And Noah walked with God." He loved the Lord. He knew the Lord. He believed God, didn't he? He did. "And he found grace. The Lord was merciful and gracious unto Noah. And Noah," verse number 10, "begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come. The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." And so we see here about Noah. We see about some of his sons. And in chapter 7, in verse number 7, we see another mother, a mother that we saw considered about Eve. And here Noah, having built the ark some 120-some years in that work that the Lord had commanded. Boy, that was great faith. I'll have some problems staying at something for a couple weeks. But Noah stayed at it for 120 years, building what the Lord had commanded. Look here in verse number 7 of chapter 7. "And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because the waters of the flood." You know, we see have this mention of this mother here, a wife. A mother of those three sons. In chapter 7, there in verse number 13, "The rain has come for 40 days and 40 nights. It says in verse 13, "In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife." We don't know her name, do we? But she is all of our mother. We're all related to her. We all come from her. And so it goes on to say, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. Chapter 8, verse number 18. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife, with his sons' wives with them. After the flood, after the receding of the water, taking some a year or so for all that to take place, that here Noah and his wife, our mother, if you will, went forth from the ark, and then the world was filled with their children. Another mother. Consideration of three mothers. Both of these women were all related to. It's from them that we have all come forth. But then we want to consider one more mother in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. These were are great women. And when we use that word great, we don't necessarily, you don't use the word great necessarily meaning good. And they were faithful in that they believed the Lord and trusted the Lord and such as that. But they are of great notoriety, aren't they? And we are connected. We have a connection even today to them. But there's another mother that we want to consider here in Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. These are women, these are mothers that have been written about that the generations for hundreds, even thousands of years might know the truth about them. We don't know Noah's wife's name, but we do know about Noah's wife, don't we? We know Eve, and we know of her. We don't know a whole lot about her, but we do descend from her, and a promise given that there would be one that would come and do this in regards to Satan. But then we have this mother, a young lady there in Israel, some 2,000 years ago. And we pick it up here in chapter 1, verse number 26, where the scripture says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her. She was a woman that had never known a man. She was to be married, and it be completed her marriage to this man Joseph, but that had not taken place yet. They had not come together and had lived together yet, but that was in preparing. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. That's what the angel said. But here we don't see anything that's indicated that this is ever to be a prayer, do we? It's just the facts of what the Lord had done. And he went in verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. She heard what he said and was troubled at it, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Who is doing the visiting? Well, it's that ministering spirit of the Lord, isn't it? Who has originated such, and who has been proactive in doing this visitation to this woman? It's been the Lord, hasn't it? Just like it was with Noah. The same kind of thing. Grace and favor of the Lord freely bestowed upon one at God's good plan and choosing. Verse 31, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I'm not married, and I'm not promiscuous in any way. And that's a lie that's told on Mary. And so how can this be? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Said, God's going to do this, Mary. God is going to do this with you. Now it goes on, or it says in Matthew, in chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, I'll read it to you. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. It had been prophesied over there in Isaiah 7:14. Read that. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, you sign seekers. That's what it's all about. He said, you want a sign? I'll give you a sign that you won't even believe. But it'll be true. And it'll be my doing. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And so the Lord sends his angel to this woman. And he says, you're going to become a mother, but you're going to become a mother unlike any other. Because what's going to be conceived within you is going to be of God.
Amen.
Of God. Now, we're not related to her, are we? We're not. Eve, yeah, we're related to her. Noah's wife, we're related to her. Mary, we're not related to her. But I thank the Lord for his using of her, don't you? And the Lord's great work in that. Verse 36, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth... Back there in Luke chapter 1, Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, that is John the Baptist. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He prophesied it. Praise the Lord. He spoke it in eternity. And then he caused his prophet to prophesy it. It's contained in the word to God. And praise God, he brought it to pass. Amen. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Then why won't we take our problem, our issue, our petition, our need, our care, our grief, all that we have unto the Lord? With God, nothing's impossible. Amen? And Mary said, verse 38, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What's that all about? She believed. She said, Okay. That's what you said? That's fine with me. Unlike Joseph, who doubted, right? The scripture tells that. But the Lord sent the angel, and he was convinced. But she received it, did she? She says, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, I'm in your hand. Be it unto me according to thy word. And she believed and did not doubt. Verse number 39. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste and to the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, that is John the Baptist, who has got 6 months on the Lord Jesus in Mary's womb, he leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And what'd she say? And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. But is there any indication that this is to be a prayer? No. It's a testimony of what has come to pass, isn't it? Elizabeth does glorify God. She is filled with the Spirit of God. She does say that Mary is blessed, but not because of Mary, but because of what God has done with her and using her. Mary is no different than any other virgin, any other young woman that had sought to obey the Lord and honor the Lord in her life. She's no different than any other there in Galilee and Judah at that time, other than the Lord's chosen her to use her in this way. Amen? Verse 43, And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Yeah, she is the Lord Jesus' mother. But it means nothing greater than that. She is just the Lord's mother. And not to belittle that, but the scripture bears nothing out about that she's to be greater than that. I thank the Lord. And I heard it said some years ago that because of the misuse of Mary and the accounts in the scriptures and stuff, that it's such that that Baptist brethren shy away from even preaching anything about Mary and telling about this account of the Lord working with her. Well, shame on us. Don't let the corruption of other religions, so-called, and that of this wonderful account and this wonderful story and the Lord's use of this young woman and the bringing and the conception, the bringing forth of our Savior, we should not shy away from it.
Yeah.
Verse 44, Elizabeth says, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe that was within her leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that had believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. She believed, and there's the testimony of it. Elizabeth says as much. And then listen to Mary. Listen to what she says. I love this. Verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify myself. The Lord! She magnifies the Lord, doesn't she? My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. You know what? That should be the case with each one of us. Because see, this is what the Lord appointed for Mary, how Mary was to be used. And what the Lord has for you is your life before Him. Do you magnify Him in it? Do you rejoice in it? Glorify Him in it? Oh, the blessings of the Lord upon us and saving us, making us His own, giving us family, and giving us our church, and placing us therein, and blessing us in all of those things. Are we not to magnify and glorify His name and rejoice in Him? Verse 48, for He had regarded the low estate of His handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And we do. She was chosen of the Lord. One woman in all of antiquity, all of history, chosen by the Lord to be used this way. Is she in and of herself any greater than any other woman? No. But the blessing of the Lord upon her was great in using her to bring His Son. Indeed, it is the case. He has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done great to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is upon them that, listen, fear Him. From generation to generation. Mary does not magnify self, does she? But she magnifies the Lord. And she tells where the focus should be. It's not on her, but it's upon the Lord. Nothing from this account yields any kind of prayer or anything like that, or any incantation to bring grace and help from God. It's the account of what the Lord did. Verse 51. He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. He hath opened His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. Universalism ought to listen to that verse, shouldn't they? Amen? As He spake to our fathers, she says, the word spoken to our fathers is important indeed. God said it, and He's brought it to pass. To Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. She believed the account of the angel. She received those things to be used of the Lord and in whatever way He saw fit. And she magnified and glorified the Lord in it, didn't she? I like this about Mary. In Luke chapter 2, these accounts about the Lord's life and when it was, a couple of years later or so, as we understand the account, the account at the birth of the Lord there in Bethlehem. Here in Luke chapter 2, it tells about this and how the shepherds came and such as that. And the Lord lying there in the manger. And it says in Luke chapter 2, verse number 19, all those things. Verse 18, let's read that. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She wasn't thinking about self. She was greatly wowed by what the Lord had done in using her and this child that Elizabeth called her Lord was born from her. And she thought about that. Remember how we think and believe that Eve had anticipation of the fulfilling of the Word of God and the promise that He made there? Mary did too, didn't she? He'll be called great. He'll be called Emmanuel. He'll take the seat and the kingship of His father David. She remembered those things. In verse number 51, we have also another account here. And when the Lord is, 12 years old or so, and that He tells that He must be about His father's business. And one of those times that they went to Jerusalem to worship and observe that which was given of the Lord for them to do. And He went down with them, the Lord Jesus did, and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them after they were sorrowing, looking for Him for days and found Him there in the temple and such. But His mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Mary, our third mother of consideration this morning, she was used of the Lord in a great way, and she believed the Lord and trusted in the Lord, and she collected those things that came to pass and those things that were said, and she took them and she mulled them over in her heart, wondering, how is all this going to come to pass? How is all this going to be? You know what? As great as these women are, none of them can save a soul, can they? And we're thankful for them. We don't rail on them or malign them in any way. We're thankful for them. We love them. We praise the Lord for them. They're our sisters in the faith, aren't they? They are. And Eve and Noah's wife are indeed our mother. We all come from them. But Mary is different in that we're not related to her, but the Lord used her greatly, and she is a mother that the Lord used. As great as these women are, none of them, not one of the three, can save a soul. Not even Mary. Eve, in consideration of her. Look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. None can save, and all have died. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3, listen to what it says here. But I fear lest any by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Here the apostle dealing with this church, and he refers back to how Eve was tricked. Does Eve have power to do anything? She was beguiled of Satan. And she was in that sense used of Satan to get at Adam, and Adam full responsible, but he went willfully. But she's not able to save. Noah's wife, the scripture says very little of her, as we've seen, and we don't even know her name. And so would it be that she could help and save or intercede? And then Mary, we've considered about her, the Lord's mother. Is Mary to be worshipped? Is she one to intercede for us? Well, she, as far as we understand, she died in John's household, like the brother read this morning. John, the Apostle John, was to take care of her. Is Mary the mother of the church? There's those that conclude that Mary is that way. In Luke chapter 11, I think we have a passage here given to us by the Lord straightway to deal with this issue. The Lord Jesus here preaching to the people and His disciples, He talks about empty hearts and how the turning over of a new leaf will do a man no good. He talks about He being the power of God, casting out demons, but they accuse Him to be even the child of Satan, and by Satan doing so, and how perilous that is. But it says in verse number 27 of Luke 11, dealing with this subject about Mary and her place relative to you and me, and what the world and many in the religious world claim that Mary, how she is to be and how we are to regard her. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 27, "And it came to pass, as he spake these things, and a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. Blessed is the woman that brought you forth, and blessed is the woman that nursed you as a child." Here the Lord has the great opportunity to set it straight about his mother and where she fits in things spiritual relative to us, relative to all mankind. And listen to what the Lord says. "But he said," verse 28, "Yea, rather." Said, no, that's not it. "Yea, rather, this supersedes what you say." Yes, she was blessed by the Lord. Yes, she was used of the Lord in a great way. But he says, that's past. I've been born. I'm here. I'm here fulfilling my ministry. And that ministry is not about my mother. It's not about Mary. It's not about Mary and her future relationship with my people, my saints, my children. But he says this, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God," hear it, "and keep it." That's what he said. He didn't say, "You're right, and my mother is to intercede for you to me." No. Yes, you're right. And those accounts in the scriptures that will come in the gospels after my resurrection that the brethren will write, those will contain words of history that you'll need to turn into prayers. To pray unto my mother so that she can intercede for you, for me to intercede for you unto God. None of that is there, is it? Not at all. Not at all. But he says, "Yea, rather, not that. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." The Lord Jesus' opportunity to magnify his mother Mary, he has that, but rather he magnifies what? The word of God. As it says in Psalm 138, verse 2, "I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." If the word of God has been magnified above the very name of the Lord himself, he says, "Hear what I say, believe what I say," then how would it be that there would be a mere mortal, even his own mother, that would be raised in esteem? It is not so, is it? It is not so. The hearing of the word of God is what is foremost and what's essential and what the Lord has given unto men. What does the word say? Well, it says, listen, you that are hearing not saved, listen. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, "Now that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." In Acts chapter 4, verse number 10, it says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man, who they had healed, stand here before you whole. This is the stone, Jesus is, which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's no other name. Not even Mary. Not even the first woman, Eve. Not even the wife of Noah. But the name of Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." He's the only mediator. And if you don't have him, you don't have a mediator. And you can pray to whatever you want to pray to, but you will not have a mediator. The only mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus. Not his mother, not his kin, not the apostles, but Jesus Christ. He is the mediator who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit of God, God himself, God the Son, is the intercessor for men. None other. None other is that. And it goes on to say in Romans 8, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We pray directly to the Father at the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ during his ministry. We pray to him by the working of the Spirit of God, and we pray to the Father directly at the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's right there at the right hand of the Father. Not Mary, not some other, but the Lord Jesus himself. And then it says lastly in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he, that is Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Right? In John 14:6, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. Not his mother, not another, not an apostle, not a preacher, but by him. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. See, Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the dead. Mary died, was buried, and is waiting for the resurrection of the Lord. Amen? Eve died and was buried and is waiting for the resurrection of the Lord. Noah's wife died, was buried, and is waiting for the resurrection of the Lord. But Jesus is the one. A consideration of three mothers. If you're here and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ. We who are saved, praise the Lord for the accounts in the Scripture that he gives us to instruct us about even these kind of things. It's a wonderful, great thing. And what the Lord tells us and shows us, we have one mother, Eve, and Noah's wife. That's something else. It's hard for us to understand that. We have one Savior, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's over it all.
Amen.
Come on.